From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns has been expounding chapter 7. Today he brings the closing portion of a message entitled The Cry of the Captive. The text is found in chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, a passage which describes the spiritual conflict of the Apostle Paul. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that these verses do not represent the normal Christian life. Rather, they relate circumstances which virtually every believer encounters in his spiritual experience. From the law, believers know how they ought to live, but the law cannot give the power to do what it demands. As Dr. Cairns has explained, there is another law in the Christian's body, the law of sin, a law which makes the believer a virtual prisoner of war. Yet, as we'll see today, victory is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening by C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. Ephraim is a cake not turned. A cake not turned is uncooked on one side. And so Ephraim was, in many respects, untouched by divine grace. Though there was some partial obedience, there was very much rebellion left. My soul, I charge thee, see whether this be thy case. Art thou thorough in the things of God? Has grace gone through the very center of thy being, so as to be felt in its divine operations in all thy powers, thy actions, thy words, and thy thoughts? To be sanctified spirit, soul, and body should be thine aim and prayer. And although sanctification may not be perfect in thee anywhere in degree, yet it must be universal in its action. There must not be the appearance of holiness in one place and reigning sin in another, else thou too wilt be a cake not turned. A cake not turned is soon burnt on the side nearest the fire. And although no man can have too much religion, there are some who seem burnt black with bigoted zeal for that part of truth which they have received, or are charred to a cinder with a vainglorious Pharisaic ostentation of those religious performances which suit their humor. The assumed appearance of superior sanctity frequently accompanies a total absence of all vital godliness. The saint in public is a devil in private. He deals in flour by day and in soot by night. The cake which is burned on one side is dough on the other. If it be so with me, O Lord, turn me. Turn my unsanctified nature to the fire of thy love, and let it feel the sacred glow, and let my burnt side cool a little, while I learn my own weakness and want of heat, when I am removed from thy heavenly flame. Let me not be found a double-minded man, but one entirely under the powerful influence of reigning grace. For well I know, if I am left like a cake unturned, and am not on both sides the subject of thy grace, I must be consumed forever amid everlasting burnings.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me. Teach me some melodious sonnet,
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
You're trying to be holy by principle, by rule, by regulation, by law, you will end up a prisoner of war. This is taking up the thought of Romans chapter 6, verse 13, where the apostle tells us that we're not to yield our members as instruments, as weapons. He's talking about us being in a warfare. Don't use your body as weapons of sin. We're in a war, and sin, the flesh, that evil principle of corruption that flows from Adam, that's still able to use your body, because the body has not yet entered in to the benefits of redemption. Listen, in that war, sin can still use your flesh as a weapon, and the law cannot stop it. You can resolve, you can choose, you can decide, you can wish. At the end of the day, the result is that you're a prisoner of war. Now let me stop there. When I look across this gathering tonight, I see faces, I can't see hearts. But God can. And I just wonder how many people there are here tonight, and they're sitting in this church, you've sung the great hymns. And as best you can, you've listened to me through what, by anybody's calculation, is a series of statements that are difficult, You've given all your attention, and when you've got to this, you've said, that's exactly where I am. I'm a prisoner. A defeated prisoner in this war with sin. Is this the best there is? That's where Lloyd-Jones was right. This is not the best there is. This is not the usual Christian life. This is not something that you cannot transcend. Is there no answer? Last night as I sat in my study pondering this, my mind went to the old gospel hymn, Is There Anyone Can Help Us? I don't very often wax poetic. I often tell folks I was born with the soul of a Philistine. I have no poetry in my soul. I wish I did. But as I thought of that hymn, some words came to my mind, and it seemed to me to be the very question that sums up Romans chapter 7. Is there anyone can help us who has power to conquer sin? Who can chase away its misery by His grace? One whose hand can reach and save us from the wretchedness within, who will light our way to victory with His face? Yes, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. When from weakness and deep grief you long for sweet relief and you need a friend to help you, He's the one. He's the one. And that's where Paul now brings us. Because the last two verses tell us that Christ, not the law, is the only way of liberty and victory. But that liberty and victory must be maintained in the face of constant conflict with the flesh. Verse 24 is the cry of the captive. In fact, I titled this whole message, The Cry of the Captive. Oh, wretched man that I am. A man beset with misery and woe and failure and defeat and sadness and frustration, knowing the good but so often not living up to it, having light but not living up to it, wanting, desiring, yearning, praying, trying, urging and yet failing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Listen, sin and defeat make for wretched, miserable Christians. Listen, the unsaved man can be happy in the wickedness of the world. In fact, he is like the sow who has gone to wallowing in the mire. He's in his element. But a Christian is a wretched and a miserable figure when he's defeated, living under bondage. It's a living death. In fact, I will go so far, and this is not, and again, if you don't understand this, I doubt that you know much of saving grace. There are times when a Christian is struggling with this, struggling with himself. And he cries out to God, Lord, I would rather be dead than to do this. I'd rather be dead than to go through this. Is there nothing more? This is a living death. This body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, so susceptible to sin that it's a body in which this death is working. This deadly sin that's reigning in the members of the body. Is there anyone can help us? I thank God. Here we come out of the darkness, out of the delusion of being sanctified by law. Here we come to being delivered I thank God. I thank God what? I thank God that He shall deliver us. How shall He do it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the word shall deliver? What does that mean? Is it present or is it future? I believe it's both. There is a future deliverance from the very presence of sin when Romans 8:23 is fulfilled at the resurrection. But there is a present victory. Ah, young man, young woman, older Christian, get this. There is a present victory. Today, there is victory for the child of God. Romans chapter 7 leads us to see we can't be justified by the law. We can't be sanctified by the law. But listen, we shall be sanctified by the very one who justified us and on the very same basis through faith in His merit. You see that? How God delivers us is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is through His merits, through His mediation. How are we justified? By faith. How are we sanctified? By faith. How are we justified? By faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. How are we sanctified? By faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the act of justifying faith leads to and yields the activity of sanctifying faith. What is sanctifying faith? What is it? I have said this 100 times from this pulpit, never more important than in this context. Sanctifying faith is living your life according to what you believe about Jesus Christ and your position in Him. Sanctifying faith is living your life according to what you believe in Jesus, about Jesus Christ and your position in Him. It's allowing what you believe, to govern what you do. I painted a picture a little while ago of the person struggling, feeling, I know what's right, I want what's right, but oh, I feel this awful urge that's wrong, and I feel so guilty and impure and unclean because I even feel it, and I fall into total frustration and defeat. Listen, let me paint another picture. In every situation, in the words of the old hymn, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. This man gets to the cross, he gets down on his knees and he cries to God for deliverance. That's the way, my friend, not just to cry for deliverance, but to get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on the gospel. Fill your mind in the moment of your temptation, in the moment of your weakness, in the situation in which you are battling and struggling at that time. Get alone, even mentally, and you can do this in the midst of a great crowd. Get your mind on Christ, on what it is that He did for you, on the imputation of His righteousness, on your acceptance in Him. Get your mind on your union with Christ. Get your mind on the promises of grace. Get your mind on this. The old man was crucified. I'm not in Adam. I'm in Christ. I'm the child of the King. And when you are thinking through the gospel, then comes not just the duty to live according to what the cross dictates, but the power. Because listen, the gospel, not the law. The gospel is the power of God. That's the difference between law and gospel. The gospel not only tells you what to do, it gives you the power to do it. The power of God unto salvation. Now herein lies the challenge. As long as we keep this in mind, we'll have victory. And as soon as we forget it and fail to do it, we'll fall into captivity and bondage. And the challenge is an ongoing one, because to repudiate the law as a means of sanctification never becomes any easier. Why? Because we're still in the flesh. That's why it ends, this chapter ends as it does. So then, with the mind I myself, with my whole heart I serve the law of God. But the flesh still wants the law of sin. See, you're always going to have to choose the cross. You're always going to have to choose the gospel. You're always going to have to take your stand on the finished work of Christ. The way to victory is not by legalistic regulation. The way to victory is by a clear thinking through of the gospel, of our justification in union with Christ. The way to victory is an understanding of the free, gracious imputation of Christ's righteousness. The way to victory is our grasping by faith that the old man was crucified in the death of Christ at Calvary. The way to victory is to recognize that now, dead to sin, we live in newness of life in Christ. That's the way. Take it and do not return to bondage. I finish as we began. We must be delivered from the law. We have to be delivered from the law. Otherwise, we could never either be justified or sanctified. And I'll show you as we ultimately, it'll be a few weeks before we get back to Romans, before we get into our Reformation services in the next few weeks. But I'll show you that this isn't despising the law, dishonoring the law. As Romans 8 will show us, the only way to honor the law and fulfill it and obey it is by faith in Jesus Christ. Christian holiness does obey God's law, but it doesn't gain the power to obey from the law. It gains it from Christ. There's an old hymn that has this verse in it. I don't think I agree with all the theology of the hymn writer in other parts, but I'm saying that because I can't remember all the other parts. But I always love this verse. Holiness by faith in Jesus. Not by, and just let me interject, that faith is not just a decision. That is living by the faith of the gospel. Holiness by faith in Jesus. Not by effort of my own. Sin's dominion crushed and broken by the power of grace alone. All I'm saying is what Paul himself said as he summed up this whole subject in Galatians 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. That's not mortifying the deeds of the body. That's saying, when he died, I died. That's my justification. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, what does it all mean? The life that I am now living in the flesh, I live how? How? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not by law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore run with might and main. Let us run with patience the race that God sets before us. Let us conquer every foe and every filthy thing that would rise against us. How? Looking unto Jesus. Turn your eyes on him. There's victory. There's victory in the Christ who died and rose again, that we should walk in newness of life.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.